Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, it's such a beautiful day, and we're so glad to be able to be here to worship you and to hear your message. Lord, our hearts go out this weekend to our neighbors in other surrounding counties here in Tennessee and in certainly north of us in Kentucky and Arkansas and places where storms have done damage. They have torn apart families and taken lives. Lord, we pray for those people affected this morning. We pray for those rescuers who, even as we speak this morning, they're out looking for survivors and bringing comfort. So, Father, we just ask that you comfort each family that's been affected by nature this morning. Father, in this Christmas season, we are thankful to be able to come to worship you. We look forward to the preaching and the teaching, as Cal and Billy have messages for us today. So we ask that you would help us to open our hearts, to absorb what they have to say, that we might leave this place today. And as we go through our paces this coming week, that those we come in contact might see Jesus in us. For we ask that in his holy name. Amen.
You know, I was talking to Joey Underwood out on the parking lot, and he and a buddy of his rode up to Mayfield, Kentucky yesterday and literally saw the devastation and everything that's happened up there. And you know, I agree totally with Dick's prayer. But as the people of God, we really do need to pray together this morning. And what I'd like to do right now, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. We've got a couple of extra minutes. Let's just get in some prayer circles. And you get in whatever circle you want to get. You can get in a square. It doesn't matter to me. But let's pray for these dear brothers and sisters of ours in Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee that have lost everything. Let's lift them up. Just get in a prayer circle. Somebody will pray. Or all of you can pray. Just get in some prayer circles and let's lift up the Lord, to the Lord, the needs that we have. All right, everybody pray. Let's pray. Just keep praying. If your group's finished praying, just be in an attitude of prayer. We're ever reminded. We are ever reminded that we can be here today and gone tomorrow. And so, God, we just lift up these neighbors of ours. Would you meet their needs through people like the Southern Baptist Convention disaster relief teams? I thank you that $75,000 has already gone from Southern Baptist coffers to Mayfield, Kentucky. And so we lift up the people in Bowling Green and Benton, Kentucky, and Mayfield, Kentucky. We lift up the folks in Memphis and Tiptonville and Dixon. We lift up the dear people in those small towns in Arkansas. People everywhere woke up yesterday morning to devastation. So, God, we lift up our brother. You're the only one that can provide the solution that people need. Oh, God, help us as a nation. Help us as a country to return to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Use us. Help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. God, there's nothing any more important that happens than when God's people get together on God's day and seek God's face. I pray you'd hear our prayers and that you would answer our prayers and touch the lives of those that we've seen on the media, television, internet. My heart's broken for these dear people. Oh God, help us to return to you. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. All right. God bless you all. Thank you for... I want to tell you, eternal destinies were changed just now. I believe that. All right. Since y'all been up praying, we'll just move, start through the book of Ruth. And we're in the third chapter this morning of Ruth. Ruth chapter 3. And let me just kind of quickly set the table. The Old Testament predicted that the Jewish Messiah, the Gentile Redeemer, would come through the little town of Bethlehem. The Redeemer would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. And then the New Testament not only presented that truth over in Galatians 4:5 and Titus 2:14 and other verses, that Jesus, when he was born in Bethlehem, he was the Redeemer of the world. And so here in Ruth chapter 3, we see how the story of Ruth links with and connects to the Christmas story. Now, go back with me to last week. I know that's a stretch. But you remember, Boaz was head over heels in love with Ruth. But as great as his love was for her, he could not bring her in to the family of God. The law excluded her. She was a Moabite. Now, so I know what some of y'all are thinking. Well, that's just not fair. Well, if you go back and read Deuteronomy 23, you'll come to an understanding of why the Moabites, down to the 10th generation, had been excluded. And so Ruth needed somebody to purchase the price for her. Somebody to redeem her. She was in need of what is the Jewish people called a kinsman redeemer. There was a Jewish law that said if you lost your property either because of poverty or your family lost your property because of a death in the family, then someone who was next of kin could come along that was able to pay the price and was willing to pay the price and could purchase that property and redeem it. In other words, saving the family, fortune, and history. Are y'all with me so far? Well, we know that Boaz was able to meet at least two of those requirements, but was he going to be willing to pay the price as Ruth's redeemer? So that's kind of where we are. Now, I want to give you a quick outline this morning. Number one, the first thing in this narrative passage, I learned from my preaching professor, whenever you've got a narrative passage, you just tell the story. Let the story speak for itself. And we see Ruth calling on her kinsman redeemer. We see Ruth calling on the redeemer. And by the way, that's what we need to do this morning. I said, by the way, that's what we need to do this morning. All right. Now, first of all, look at Ruth's call on the Redeemer. We see Naomi has a concern. Verse 1, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Now, Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? See, here's this kinsman redeemer coming into play. In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now, more than likely, Naomi... Remember, her name was Mara, Mrs. Bitterness. She's sitting there at the shack day after day and probably focused in on the things that she had given up, the things that she had lost, you know, and she's remembering better times in Bethlehem when Elimelech, her husband, was alive and when her boys, Mahlon and Chilion, were still alive and when they were young and how they were all together. And so she's probably a little despondent, a little despairing, maybe depressed. And you know, when I think about us at Christmas time, y'all know, how many of you know the song Elvis used to sing, Blue Christmas? It'll be a blue, blue, blue Christmas. Some of you know it. Some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But we get blue at Christmas time. Some people do. Loneliness is our greatest. When I think about our widows and our single adults and our single parents, I mean, it's a problem. And we tend to get blue at Christmas time. Like Naomi, kind of tend to get down. And then others, are so busy with presents and parties and toys and trinkets, they miss the whole reason for the season, and they wind up unhappy. And then there's a third crowd probably in here that's OCD, and you're upset and unhappy because you can't find the perfect gift. Yeah. Well, I want to submit to you, why don't you do what Naomi did? Get somebody else on your mind. You know, there's always someone out there that has it worse than I do. Hello? Get your mind on a family that needs help this Christmas. Get your mind on someone that needs Jesus this Christmas. They're all around us. And so if you'll do what Ruth did, Ruth's sitting there across the table probably from Naomi, and Naomi looks at her and she says, "Honey, we got to find you a husband." And so she's decided to do a little matchmaking. So do what Naomi did. Get somebody else on your heart and on your mind. By the way, if you'll get Jesus on your mind, He'll fill your plate with joy if you've got the Christmas blues. Am I preaching to anybody up in here today? Get your mind on Jesus and He will fill your plate with joy. Because Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, is how you spell J-O-Y. All right. So that's Naomi's concern. Got to find you a husband. You know, some of you girls may, why, you know. But look at her counsel now. Verse 3, "Therefore wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But don't make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet and lie down. And he'll tell you what you should do." And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." Basically, what she's telling Ruth to do is call on Boaz as your kinsman redeemer. Call on him as your redeemer. And then she gives her fourfold advice. She says, "Now, before you go down to the threshing floor," and by the way, y'all, the threshing floor was an important place at harvest time. It was a joyous time. People were winnowing their grain and threshing their grain. People were rejoicing and singing. The families were there because of their great harvest. And folks were eating, you know, a nice meal. And I mean, it was a great time. And so she says, "Ruth, honey, go down to the threshing floor. But before you do, go get you a bubble bath." Isn't that what the scripture says? It says, go wash. And then she says, put on some of that midnight of Moab perfume. Anoint yourself. Right? Y'all got to read the scriptures this way. See, they come to life. And then she says, put on your Sunday best. Go get you a party dress or something. And put on a new garment. And then you go down to the threshing floor. By the way, when I was reading that there in verse 3, isn't that what Jesus has done for us? He has washed us. He's cleansed us. He's anointed us. He's put new robes of righteousness on us. And He has sent us out into the party. Glory to God. I'm going to go down the street and preach this if y'all don't get with me. Come on now. All right. Now, watch this. Don't miss this. And she says, you go down to the threshing floor, and then you call on Him as your Redeemer. And so, this is an amazing story. And I love it because it is the Christmas story. And so her counsel to her daughter-in-law is, you go claim Boaz as your next of kin. Call on him as your redeemer. And so she says, okay, Mama, that's what I'm going to do. And she goes and washes and anoints herself and gets ready and heads down to the threshing. By the way, for the sole purpose of calling on him, have you called on the Redeemer? My Bible tells me, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Hope so, maybe so, guess so, might so. No, shall be saved. Have you called on Him to redeem you? That's your greatest need. That's my greatest need. So, here's the second movement in this passage of Scripture. Ruth was not only to call on Boaz as her Redeemer, she was to claim Him as her Redeemer. Now, look, watch this. Look at her request, verse 6. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet, and he said, "Where are you?" No, he says, "Who are you?" I'm sorry. So she answered, "I'm Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Now, four times in this passage, we are told that Ruth is at the feet of Boaz. And you know, my mind went back to the New Testament there. Who else, every time we read about her, was at the feet of Jesus? Mary of Bethany. She's always at the feet of Jesus. And so we see Ruth at the feet of her Redeemer. And by the way, that is a great place for every believer to be, at the feet of Jesus, listening to His Word, obeying His Word, claiming His Word for yourself. What a great place for us to be. Now, before I dive into this, do not read this narrative text through the lens of American culture. There's nothing seductive or sexual going on here. Nothing, none of that. She's simply doing what her culture required her to do. In order to claim her Redeemer, she had to make the first move. That's what the law said she had to do. And so that's what, I mean, even Boaz says there in verse 11, she's a virtuous woman. She's a virtuous woman. And so, you know, now guys, y'all can identify with this. Boaz has been working hard all day long. All the sheaves have been brought in from the field. He's been there on the threshing floor winnowing and threshing that grain. And they brought in a huge harvest. And everybody's happy, everybody's rejoicing, everybody's singing. I mean, it's good times in the threshing floor. And Boaz has just eaten. He's got a full belly. It's warm in there. And guess what happens? Come on, guys. You know what I'm talking about. He's asleep. And my mind went to, you know, some of these guys that fell asleep in the Bible. Remember Adam? God put him under a deep sleep. And he woke up, boom, all of a sudden, there's his wife. That's what happened to some of y'all, isn't it? And then I think about Jacob. He went to sleep and woke up married to the wrong woman. But Boaz goes to sleep. And Ruth comes and uncovers his feet and lays down at his feet. And about midnight, Boaz wakes up and says, "Who's there? Who is that?" And she said, "Honey, it's just me, Ruth. I have come to claim you as my kinsman redeemer." I bet you he about jumped out of his skin. Look at verse 10. Watch this. "Then he said, 'Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, don't fear. I will do for you all that you request.'" For that, doesn't this just sound like Jesus? I mean, "For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now it's true that I'm a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay the night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." This is his response to her request as she claims him as her Redeemer. Now, Boaz gives us a little information right here. There was someone that was closer to Elimelech, Naomi's dead husband, than Boaz was. And he said, "By law, we've got to go and offer this redemption, first of all, to him. But if he turns it down, sweetheart, sugar britches, honey pie, I'm going to do everything to redeem you and meet every single one of your needs, not only right now, but for all time. Isn't that the Christmas story? Isn't that what Jesus has done for us? He's washed us and cleansed us and anointed us and put new robes on us. And He has redeemed us by His blood. Hallelujah. Yeah, somebody give God some praise. And so He says, honey, you just hang on. You don't worry about anything, I'll take care of everything. I could say a lot more right here, but we need to move on. And so she called on Him as her Redeemer. She claimed Him as her Redeemer. And then she continues on with Him as her Redeemer. Look at verse 14. So she lay at His feet until morning. And she arose before one could recognize another. Then He said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. And also He said, He says to her, bring the shawl that's on you and hold it. And when she held it, He measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. Now, let me just stop right here. She gets up before dawn, and Boaz gets up with her and kind of keeps everything hush-hush until he can cross all of his T's and dot all of his I's. And he doesn't let her leave empty-handed. What does he do? He gives her 60 pounds of barley. Now, I don't know how she got that in a shawl. But can I just say to you this morning, brothers and sisters, if you will call on Him and claim Him as your Redeemer, you can continue on in Him. And as you do, He will bless you. He will bless you. Bless the name of the Lord our God. He will bless you. And by the way, when God blesses us, He doesn't bless us so that we can hoard the blessings. He gives us those blessings so that we can share them with others. And so she's got this 60-pound shawl of grain. And where does she head? To the outskirts of town to her mom-in-law in that run-down shack. And don't you just know Naomi's sitting there at the door pacing? Oh, I wonder what's going on today. I wonder if she has snatched up Boaz yet. And so she gets home. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 16. Isn't this good stuff, y'all? I love the Word of God. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? Well, duh, she knew who it was. Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me. For he said to me, don't go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. And you just sense and see Naomi's jubilation. She's happy. Here comes Ruth in through the threshold. And she says, well, what about it, daughter? Are you Mrs. Boaz yet? And she said, oh, mama, you'll never guess what happened. He wants to redeem me. And He has given us more than we need right now. And He has promised us to meet all of our needs. Not only today, but forever. You tell me this isn't a Christmas story? This is it. And then look at Naomi's declaration. Watch this. Look at this. Pay attention. Lean in with me, y'all. Verse 18. Then she said, sit still. Rest. Trust. Continue. My daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Naomi knows. Boaz was like a bird dog on point. He was going to take care of this no matter what. And so Naomi tells her, honey, You just trust Him. Sit still. Rest in Him. Some of you are here this morning and you're trying to figure things. Listen, just trust in the finished work of Christ and keep walking with Him. He's going to meet your needs. I don't know what all's going on in your families here in this church house today, but I can tell you this, our God is able and He will meet your needs. He's promised to do that. My grandmama's favorite verse, Philippians 4:19, and we know my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You just keep walking with Jesus. Keep sitting at the feet of Jesus. Your Redeemer will take care of things. Trust Him. We could stop right here and let Tad get up and share for the next 35 minutes. He's just trusting in the Lord. It's kind of like a yo-yo. Whether he's going to get this kidney or not real soon. One day he is, next day he's not. One day he is, next day he's not. Am I right, brother? But he's walking with Jesus. He's trusting God. God's got a bigger plan than we know of. And I don't know what your need is today, but He can meet it if you'll trust Him. So, I've said all that to say this. If you have called on your Redeemer, if you have claimed Him as your Redeemer, you just need to remember, y'all know Christmas didn't just take place at that manger scene. Christmas took place at Calvary. Every single redeeming drop of blood He shed for you. That's how much He loves you. He paid the price for your redemption so that you could be set free from your sin and get in a relationship with Him. That's how much He loves you. And so I'm asking you today, are you sitting at His feet? Are you listening to His Word and being obedient to it? And I just feel led to say this, if you have trusted Christ with your life, if you have called on Him and claimed Him, it is time for you to come out of the closet and identify with Him in baptism. You're in disobedience if you haven't done so. You read your Bible. Once you've truly been born again, once you've truly been saved, then you need to be baptized. Not for your salvation, but it's your coming out party. It's your obedience. And then let's just say, there's always a lost person or two in here. And you haven't called on Him, you haven't claimed Him. It's just as simple as this. If you'll confess to Him this morning your need, and just agree with Him about your sin, and be willing to turn from your sin, and by faith trust Him as your only means of salvation and forgiveness, and call on His name, claim Him as your Redeemer, I'm living proof God will receive any. Jesus said, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Amen. He will receive you today. I think now's as good a time as any to prepare to sit down at the Lord's table. If you've got sin in your life, if you've got disobedience in your life, if you claim the name of Christ, here's an altar. You come and get that issue right. And by all means, if you're willing to pray and receive Christ and claim Him as your Lord and Savior, you need to come forward and share that with us. You won't have to say anything. You won't have to preach a sermon, sing a solo, anything like that. But I'll just relay the good news. And we'll set up your baptism time. And by the way, do you think the folks up in Mayfield, Kentucky need a church home? You're going to need a church family. You're going to need one. Today's the day. Father, please, before it's too late, you do what you need to do in this matter of redemption. I believe the vast majority of us in here probably have already claimed your name, called on you, but we're struggling in this walk, in our continuing with you. And we need to get back at your feet, and we need to begin living a holy, obedient lifestyle. And we can only do that through your power. So God, I don't know what you want to do with this message today. But I promise to give you the praise and the glory for whatever you want to do. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Seth is going to lead us in a time of response, a hymn of invitation. Let's all stand together. The altar's open. If you need to come and pray and get right with God, you do that. Don't worry about what somebody, everybody stand and let you come. Don't worry about what somebody else is saying. Just listen to him. What's he saying? You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.